Good morning. How are ya?
Good.
Right on. All right. My name is Carly. And if you're new here, and you've only been here a few times or you're visiting, I'm so glad you came today. But if you've been attending for the last 35 years, and you've known my husband since he was a baby, I am so glad you came today. I hope that you feel encouraged to reach out and to make connections, and I hope today that you find that you belong. And man, am I excited to share the Bible with you today. Doctor of Social Work, Brené Brown, says something really interesting about the concept of belonging. She says that people have this deep neurobiological desire to belong. I would say we were created to belong. Our stories are about cultivating belonging. And if our story is about belonging, where do we, or rather, who do we belong to? Brené Brown says we know belonging really well. But when we try to articulate it, we usually talk about the opposite. She says that when you ask people about love, they tell you about heartbreak. When you ask people about connection, they tell you stories of disconnect. And when you ask about belonging, they'll tell you about a time when they were left out. It's often easier to understand what belonging is based on what it isn't. For example, when I was in my early 20s, all of my work friends would go out to this bar after work on Sundays, and I never joined them. I still hung out with them. But on Sundays, I went to church in the evenings, and I usually kept hanging out with my church friends afterwards. So one of my work friends got really mad at me. He asked if I thought I was too good to go out with them on Sundays. And he told me that because I chose church and church friends on Sundays, I didn't belong to my work friends anymore. We know what belonging isn't. Last week, Pastor Kevin taught us about this concept of making room. He said that without the greatest commandment, love God and love others, life becomes about the stuff. And I really identify with that. I start each week looking at my hard copy day timer. I saw my friend Jen starting out her week looking at her day timer just now. I write down all of my weekly tasks. I comb through my email, my text messages to make sure I haven't missed any appointments, any stuff. Then I add swimming lessons, dance class, field trips, more stuff. Our quarterly date night, just kidding, it's not that often. And man, does stuff fill up my day timer quickly. If you're in high school, maybe your stuff is unit exams, book reports, sports, the occasional friendship hangout, and of course, TikTok videos. Our lives are so busy, in fact, that all of this stuff makes it super easy to disconnect without taking the time to slow down, to see where we are at, and to reorient ourselves so that we're digging into God. Life totally is about the stuff. But when we make room in our lives, we start to carve out these connections. We start to ditch some of the stuff. We start to belong. Today, we're looking at 1 Peter, and before we get into the Bible, I want to let you know a little bit about this letter. 1 Peter is a letter to a church in the midst of mission. Jesus' disciple, Peter, sent it to a whole bunch of Gentile Christians. That's the non-Jewish people. And it's to encourage them and to let them know that they belong. If we look at chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him, and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Peter begins his encouragement saying, I don't care who told you you don't belong. You belong to God, and he chose you a long time ago. This letter is about hope and family and finding your sense of belonging in a world that seems so crazy full of stuff. If we move into chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Okay, I'm just going to stop right here and explain a little bit. These Gentile Christians, they belonged to Roman culture, where abuse and disconnection was common. Peter is trying to tell them that they belong to a different culture. They belong to God's kingdom, which is not to deny the very real things happening to them, but to assure them that God has something so different in store. Suffering transforms us. In response to God's family experiencing suffering, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, suffering then is the badge of true discipleship. The disciple is not above the master. In our own time, it might be hard to identify with the same kind of persecution that the Gentiles of the Bible would have experienced. But that doesn't negate our own suffering. If you have me as a friend on Facebook, you may have seen my very rough week. On Monday morning, my husband Kyle came home from work to tell me that our van had been stolen. Maybe a month ago, my phone and my laptop were stolen. Now, I'm not saying that I'm being persecuted in the same way that the Gentile Christians in Peter's time were, but man, am I suffering these days. In the same book, in chapter 3, Peter tells us, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. So don't be worried or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. When we examine our own lives, what attitude do we have when we encounter suffering? Are we still proclaiming Jesus? Are we still willing to search for belonging? When stuff gets in the way, when your stuff gets stolen, are you still willing to proclaim Jesus in a gentle and respectful way? When we turn back to Peter, in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I love the Bible. And I feel like despite my very hard work to present this cool exterior, most of you know that I am a huge Bible nerd. And when I'm not reading the Bible, I'm likely reading a book about the Bible, but like for fun. But I super love when the Bible is crystal clear. When God hands us this neatly packaged command, like love each other and offer hospitality. We don't really have an opportunity here to be like, but what could Peter mean, love each other? Peter tells us what belonging is. While we might instinctively turn to these stories of rejection while trying to figure out where we belong, the Apostle Peter tells us it's pretty easy. Love each other. Because when stuff gets hard, love covers that. And offer hospitality. And I love his caveat, offer hospitality, but don't be a jerk about it. That is what belonging is about. One of my best friends, Sarah, lives a few doors down from me. And she affectionately calls our guest room her overflow bedroom. She confidently offers it up to her house guests when her home is at capacity. And then she asks if it's okay to use it after. In allowing her this deep sense of belonging, our own family has gotten to meet and feed and care for some very cool people. Moms, dads, young people, people taking their parents in for palliative care here in Kelowna. One time, an 18-year-old guy stayed with us and asked for a ride downtown so he could get a tattoo. I obliged. Once you start looking for these stories of belonging, instead of rejection, you begin to find them. We've talked a lot about our vision as leadership in our leadership team here and where God is calling our church. And even that word church, when we think about it, you might think of this building, but we think of something else too. I'm going to get a little bold here, and I'm going to ask for your participation. When you think of church, what do you think of? You can just call it out.
People.
People. What else?
Worship.
Worship, yes.
Community.
Community. Anything else?
Food.
Food, yes. All of these things have people in common. Church is about our family meal, food of communion, baptism, which, by the way, I would totally recommend. It's about potlucks and resurrection, marriage, outdoor movie nights, confession, block parties. It's about people. It's about belonging. And not belonging created by a flashy service, but belonging we help cultivate. And we know already that people have this deep neurobiological created desire to belong. And if our story is about belonging, who do we belong to? In 1 Peter, he tells us that we belong to God. In chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "Once you had no identity as people, and now you are God's people." We belong to God, to his different countercultural kingdom. So now we move on to the question, what does belonging look like? And I want to pull us back into 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. As a reminder, they say, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's Peter's three-step guide to making room for belonging. Step one, love each other deeply. And what does that look like for us? What looks different for different people? Digging into relationship, spending time, that's a good place to start. Listening to each other's stories, worshiping together, engaging in mission are all deep acts of love. Maybe it's taking your neighbor's kids off their hands for a while, or including a single person in your community in your family meal. If you want to tell me that you love me this week, let me borrow your car. Step two, cover sins. Peter tells us that love covers a multitude of sins, but that doesn't mean that love ignores sin or brushes it off. Love allows us the freedom to stand with our brothers and sisters when they have hurt us or others. to love them when we know they're lying to us, to love them when we know they're in the wrong. Love also allows us to expect that same sense of forgiveness when we mess up. But belonging is about sacrifice. It's not easy to stand by those you love deeply when they're caught up in sin. We have to sacrifice our time, our comfort, our home, our finances. But belonging encourages us to understand sacrifice. And when we understand sacrifice a bit better, we know Jesus a bit better. When we confess, when we forgive, we learn more about who Jesus is. Step 3, offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. I don't mean to humble brag. Well, yes, I do. I am awesome at hospitality. I love giving. I love having people over. I love cooking for people. I love opening up my life to let people in. And I usually do it without grumbling. And sometimes I grumble. I remember last year, our neighborhood went caroling, and I was not looking forward to it because, as I said earlier, I try to put out this cool vibe. I truthfully grumbled a bit. But you know what? I did it anyway, and I had an amazing time. We got to meet a whole bunch of our neighbors, and then I got to do what I love. I opened my home up for a party afterwards. And I learned a really good lesson. And this year, when we go caroling, I am definitely not going to grumble about it. Because sometimes you have to experience these lessons before you really buy in. Peter gives us this method to cultivate belonging in our lives. Imagine if we used Peter's words to guide our sense of belonging. What would your home look like if you truly loved your friends deeply? How would you reconnect with friends if you knew that love covered sin? If you knew your forgiveness and the forgiveness of others was a guarantee? And what would your parties look like if you offered hospitality without grumbling? Belonging is about identity. We live in a culture that has different values than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you claim Jesus, you're saying that you belong to Jesus. You belong to God's family. The calling of the church, the people, is to be people who know suffering and still love deeply. Forgive and seek forgiveness. We are called to offer hospitality, to reach out to our neighbors and host block parties to the glory of God. This is a big undertaking. We've got a big, beautiful job. And we get to change these busy lives of disconnect and rejection and stuff into lives that glorify God. When I look at the never-ending task in my day timer, I get to decide to make those moments a chance to glorify God. I get to use dance class as a chance to love other parents deeply so they know that I am a part of a different culture. I get to use kids' birthday parties as a chance to offer hospitality. And I get to change my attitude about suffering and do a lot of walking this week and enjoy those brisk fall days. And FBC, we get to participate in this sense of belonging together. As a church community, we get to love people like crazy and expect forgiveness, and open our homes, and care for the people in our lives. We make life so busy, so complicated. But Jesus tells us, just love God and love others. Peter closes his letter with a prayer. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen.